I am an addictive personality, and so I fear things to which I could become addicted, like gambling or prescription drugs. But I want to sleep better, and I want to ache less. Try, as I do, thetrustedlab.com, delivered to your home. Texas-based, completely legal CBD that has given me great results. TheTrustedLab.com.
It's that time. Lock and load. The Michael Derry Show is on the air.
Ken in Texas City, you're up. Ken? Well, Fox, did we play? I'm off kilter because Paul Castro's call came in when I had something else planned, and so, and I'm glad it did. I'm glad he was willing to share his story. I think stories like this are really making it hit home, the consequences of our local politics. This is Detroit. This is Chicago. This is Baltimore. This is Washington, D.C. This is New Orleans. This is Atlanta. This is not what we want Houston to be. And we have already begun the process. People are fleeing the city. It's not just a white flight anymore. It is a flight of law-abiding citizens, heads of families of every kind. There was a story in the Chronicle this weekend about Asian Americans moving out into the suburbs. Right, because they don't want to live in a war zone. And make no mistake, Sylvester Turner's policies are rewarding the war zone. The whole defund the police, suck up to the George Floyd crowd, St. George Floyd. Nobody wants to say it, but the natural consequence of this behavior is crime through the roof. You've got an entire Harris County judiciary of Democrats, and these are the results. This is what Greg Glass gets you. This is what Bynum gets you. This is what Deshaun Jackson gets you. This is what those people went down there to do, and they are doing it. This is not an accident. This is foreseeable. This was avoidable. And yet, here we are. While Paul Castro was our guest talking about burying his son, or talking about his son being murdered, at the same time, you've got the funeral service going on for Officer Bill Jeffrey, serving a warrant on another thug that had clipped his ankle monitor and fired over 100 rounds into the body of a police officer. Wow. This is what we're dealing with. This is what this city has become. This is what Houston has become. And with the people that are moving out, most likely to vote against the Sylvester Turners, the likelihood that you get out of this situation, not good. Once a city turns the way this one has, not good. It happened to Detroit, it happened to Chicago, Baltimore, Atlanta, Birmingham. This is where you go. Do you have that story by Randy Wallace? Randy Wallace, I don't know why the other networks are not picking up on this and doing this and putting someone, put a Ted Oberg on this story, put a Joel Eisenbaum on this story, put a guy on the number one story in Houston right now is the murder rate. And the crime, it's at historic highs. What are the other news directors doing that they're not covering this story? Anyway, Fox 26, D'Artagnan Babel, to his credit, has figured this out, and they are all over it. Between Greg Grugan and Randy Wallace, they are all over this. Listen to this.
If a decision you made may have cost another person their life, would you at least feel like you owe some sort of an explanation? If your answer is yes, you're obviously not a Harris County Criminal District Court judge. They apparently feel like they owe none of us an explanation. The 138 Harris County residents who died due to the courthouse revolving door include an 83-year-old grandmother, three police officers, and three unborn children.
Sadly, the majority of the 138 victims of felony bond reform would be classified as people of color and minorities.
Even though there's no court order mandating it, newly elected criminal district court judges took it upon themselves to grant bond to almost all defendants appearing before them, no matter how lengthy their criminal history.
We've seen defendants on 5, 7, 8, 10, 12, 14 bonds that you never saw, ever.
The 138 victims of felony bond reform are just the ones we are aware of.
Keep in mind, you got hundreds of murders that haven't been solved. So we know this is kind of a lowball number.
Here's the criteria for our research. The defendant turned alleged killer had to be free on multiple felony bonds or a felony personal reconnaissance bond. The district court judge with the most defendants he freed on bond, who later picked up a murder charge, is 182nd Judge Danny Lacayo with 10. They include 41-year-old Johnny Zimeno.
But when it hits home, it's an unbearable pain. Say hi to Mama. Say hi, Mama.
6-month-old Jewel will never know her 30-year-old mother, Delicia Liam Blate. Her mother, Alicia Perez, blames Zimeno and Judge Lacayo.
She'd be here taking care of her children like I wanted her to. Raise her own children.
Second place is a tie. 262nd Judge Lori Chambers Gray and 230th Judge Chris Morton, both with 9 defendants they repeatedly freed on bond, who are now charged with murder. Judge Lori Chambers Gray repeatedly freed 28-year-old Darian Carraway, now accused of killing 46-year-old Patrick Akins. His sister, Teresa Seck, blames Judge Gray.
And because of her decision, my brother had to pay with his life, and us as a family, we have to deal with the aftermath of that and that pain.
230th Judge Chris Morton gave 30-year-old Jesus Gallegos 5 bonds in just a 1-year period. Now Gallegos is accused of murdering his 43-year-old girlfriend, Rita Acosta.
She left a beautiful family behind.
Coming in third, 180th Judge Deshaun Jones. He repeatedly freed 8 defendants now accused of murder. Jones gave Teresa Balboa a PR, or get-out-of-jail-free card. She's now accused of killing 6-year-old Samuel Olson. I have contacted all of these judges more times than I can count. If any of you want to respond on camera, you know how to reach me.
And obviously they don't. Why don't they feel a responsibility to the public they're supposed to serve to answer for this? There's got to be a way, maybe Andy Kahn can help me with this, to organize the families of these 135 victims. These are people, these are not just murder victims. These are murder victims of murderers who had been freed on bonds after committing violent crimes and allowed, instead of being held and allowed to be free. What's Sylvester Turner's phrase? Because this is what they call this. This is you.
We are rebuilding the criminal justice ecosystem.
Yeah, and some of you won't survive this ecosystem. This is a Democrat Darwinian rebuild of destruction, and some of you won't survive it. And that's okay with them.
It's Ramon, the King of Ding.
And this other guy, Michael Berry.
I have a buddy named Ray Briers, and he owns a company called The Pipe Yard Inc., INC.com. And if you have a project that needs carbon steel pipe, he stocks everything you need. New surplus, secondary, you name it. Rat hole, mouse hole, conductor casing, pipe pile, sign pole, structural, road bores, dredging. If you're buying or selling, you got an abandoned pipeline, wherever, he'll buy it. ThePipeyardInc.com. 409-788-PIPE. 409-788-PIPE.
Yes, I do. She said, I don't have to go right home, and I would kinda like to be alone, son, if you would. I said, me too. And so we took a stroll, wound up down by the swimming hole, and she said, do what you wanna do. I got silly. Something just slipped out of dress, and she said, let's make it perfectly clear. She said, I don't like spiders and snakes.
Jim Stafford wrote and sang some fantastic songs. You remember who he co-wrote this with? I told you this about a year ago. He was very interested at the time. David Bellamy. This was in 74, a year before Let Your Love Flow launched the Bellamy Brothers as their own recording act. David Bellamy and Jim Stafford were songwriting friends. And interestingly, while David Bellamy was the force behind this song and the co-writer with Jim Stafford, David Bellamy did not write Let Your Love Flow. It's interesting, these guys that write songs for other people, and then their biggest songs are songs that they did not write. Loretta and Conway recorded it that same year, 1974.
I remember when Loretta Lynn said, you want to walk me home again? And I said, yes, I do.
Sounds like Jerry Reed.
She said,
well, I don't have to go right home, and I'm the kind that don't like to be alone.
Would you like some Crisco?
You would. I would, too.
And so we took a stroll and wound up down by the swimming hole. And she said,
do what you want to do. I don't care.
I got silly and I found me a frog in the water by Holly Law. I shook it out. And I say, Loretta, this frog's for you.
Mike, don't put that thing on me.
I don't like spiders and snakes. And that ain't what it takes to love me like I want you to.
Politico's Ben Schreckinger, writing about the Biden family's shady business dealings. I mean, gosh, if only there was some way a year ago that they could have found it in their hearts to write about the Bidens back then, saying, I found a number of incidents in which there were scandals, questions of dealings going all the way back to the 70s.
Well, I started writing about the business dealings of Hunter Biden as well as Joe Biden's younger brother, one of his younger brothers, Jim Biden, way back in the summer of 2019, and I found a number of incidents in which there were scandals, questions of favorable treatment surrounding some of their business dealings going all the way back to the 1970s. I really thought that would be the last time I ever wrote on the subject, but I continue to get new tips and leads. Hunter's work with Burisma ended up being at the center of a presidential impeachment.
And now we have Hunter selling art for what will total millions of dollars at this art show. We won't know who paid the money. We won't know what favors they get in return. But we will know that it is incredibly unethical, probably illegal, and eventually somebody will squeal. Eventually, like the housing director at the city of Houston, somebody, some woman that he's banging will, he gets pregnant and he won't show up, just like he did for the woman in Arkansas, and she'll have a baby by him and he'll deny paternity, and she'll finally get tired of begging him to take ownership of this situation, and she'll reveal what she knows in a video they take that'll be from his computer or hers in a hotel room. If we just take Hunter Biden at face value, the man has admitted he's taken bribes and worried about his own security because of the people he cavorts with, and that he spent a month at one point, a month at a time, going room to room, night by night, in parties of wealthy people that would give him $25,000 to come party with them. You think that's because Hunter is so interesting? Hardly. Meanwhile, Mayorkas says the Biden administration opposes the wall because people crossing illegally is, quote, one of our proudest traditions.
Why did you allow them in the country in the first place? Why didn't you build, forgive me, a wall or a fence to stop them from walking in this flood of people coming across the dam? It looks like a highway that allows them to cross the Rio Grande.
It is this the policy of this administration. We do not agree with the building of the wall. The law provides that individuals can make a claim for humanitarian relief. That is actually one of our proudest traditions.
Oh. Illegal aliens coming to this country is one of our proud... Here you thought we had proud traditions. Today, New York declares a state of emergency as tens of thousands of unvaccinated healthcare workers are set to be fired as the state's COVID vaccine mandate takes effect. The emergency declaration will allow healthcare workers from other countries, recent graduates, and retirees to come to New York to practice. In addition, the state may deploy medically trained National Guard troops. State data shows that 84% of the state's 450,000 hospital workers are vaccinated, along with 83% of its 145,400 nursing home workers. Even still, that means as many as 94,000 workers are unvaccinated, leaving a potentially dire shortfall in workers from Monday. Gregory Serafin, a registered nurse at the Erie County Medical Center, says, "We give patients a bill of rights, and they are able to choose what procedures or tests or medications they want to put in their system. Healthcare workers deserve the same medical autonomy to make those decisions." Erie County Medical Center President Tom Quatroche says, "The looming staffing loss is an unprecedented crisis. The facility has been forced to pause ICU transfers from other hospitals and suspend elective inpatient surgeries because it expects to fire as many as 400 employees today." Quatroche says, "I think we need more time to comply, and I've asked for that. The reality is it is creating a public health crisis in hospitals with nobody to care for patients. The reality is they're playing chicken with you. And if enough people push back, they'll have to change the procedure." General Dynamics did. "But if everybody finally says, well, I have no choice, I held out to the end, I have to do this, and you give in, it never stops. Every step, every new measure that they went on will occasion another until they're made to stop."
That I get from this show that I don't seem to get from other places.
The Michael Berry Show.
Day in 1956, September 27th, at only 45 years old, Babe Diedrichson Zaharias passed. You would be hard-pressed to find an individual, much less a woman, with more accomplishment in her life than Mildred Ella Diedrichson, who came to be known as Babe. She said it was a nickname after Babe Ruth because she hit 5 home runs in one Little League game against the boys. But her mother said that she'd been calling her Bebe, her Norwegian nickname for her, since she was born. Born in Port Arthur, grew up in Beaumont. She played semi-pro basketball with the Golden Cyclones while employed by the Employers Casualty Company of Dallas. She won 2 gold medals at the 1932 Olympics. She went on to help found the LPGA, the Ladies Pro Golf Association. She was their leading money winner from 49 through 51. She was the Texas Women's Amateur Golf Champion and a national champion upon turning pro. In 1953, after a cancer operation, she went on to win 5 more tournaments that year. She established the Babe Zaharias Trophy to honor outstanding women athletes. And did I mention she was only 45 when she died? But she did more than that. She played the harmonica, and she had a recording contract. She won the state sewing championship at the 1931 state fair. She won multiple sewing championships. I don't know how competitive that is. Her recording contract was with Mercury Records, where she played harmonica and sang on her songs. Her biggest seller was I Felt a Little Teardrop. She was a golf star, a track star. She competed in the decathlon. She won gold in javelin with a throw of 44 meters. I don't know what that is in real distance. In the high jump, she took silver with a world record tying leap of 5.44 feet. She is the only athlete, track and field, male or female, to win individual Olympic medals in separate running, throwing, and jumping events. She pitched a total of 4 innings in 3 Major League spring training exhibition games. The men, that is. On March 20th, she gave up 1 walk and no hits in 1 inning for the Philadelphia Athletics against the Brooklyn Dodgers. On March 22nd, she pitched the first inning for the St. Louis Cardinals against the Boston Red Sox. She threw a rather fair curve, a reporter at the event said. 400 fans in attendance, and she retired the side. On March 25th, she played for the New Orleans Pelicans against the Cleveland Indians, pitching 2 scoreless innings and lining out in her only plate appearance. She is still recognized as the world record holder for the farthest baseball throw by a woman. It's not 6 feet. You know what? That's the anti-woman comment. Just for that right there, you're going to be canceled. She was named the 10th greatest North American athlete of the 20th century by ESPN and the 9th greatest athlete of the 20th century by the Associated Press. I'll tell you, most of the time when they make these lists, they have to put some diversity in there. Like if you have the 100 greatest bowlers by about 38, they're like, this black guy over here. Wait a second. There's never been a black professional bowler. Well, he played in the semi-pro league, but it was a long time ago, so we're going to put him in there. And then here's this woman over there. Wait, what? Yeah, we got to do that. We got to have some diversity in here.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But you don't have to have diversity in anything else. Let's see. In 1981, the U.S. Postal Service issued an eight. She's from Beaumont, Ramon. Shut up. I'm proud of her. Issued an 18-cent stamp commemorating Zaharias. Let's see. On January 7th of this year, Babe Diedrichson Zaharias was awarded the Presidential Medal of Freedom by President Donald J. Trump. Thank you very much. It would be much better if she and her ilk stayed at home, got themselves prettied up, and waited for the phone to ring, wrote sports writer Joe Williams of the New York World Telegram. That's pretty good stuff right there. Woman athlete of the 20th century, she was named by the Associated Press. In 2000, Sports Illustrated magazine named her second on its list of the greatest female athletes behind the heptathlete Jackie Joyner-Kersee because she's black. She's also in the World Golf Hall of Fame. She is the highest-ranked woman at number 10 on ESPN's list of the 50 top athletes of the 20th century. In 2000, she was ranked as the 17th greatest golfer of all time and the second greatest woman player after Mickey Wright by Golf Digest magazine. She wrote an autobiography entitled This Life I've Led. In 1975, the film Babe, based on her life, was released, with Susan Clarke winning an Emmy for that. Alex Karras played George Zaharias. That's her husband. In 2014, she was inducted into the Legacy Walk, an outdoor public display that celebrates LGBT history and people. I think she was lesbo. I think she was married, but lesbo. That was crazy. And then, of course, the president awarding her the Presidential Medal of Freedom earlier this year. Pretty impressive. Golden Triangle girl.
Where I can't believe he just said that happens. The Michael Berry Show.
Dear, go ahead.
Czar, I had a refreshing dose of, inspiration this morning. There is a 3/4 mile stretch of road down the highway to Procter & Gamble, which is one of our biggest employers in the area. And it's people on both sides. They have flags and signs. They're protesting the forced jab. And I'm sure it won't make a difference because the CEO is a huge libtard. But it was just so refreshing to see these people standing up at the risk of a boss spotting them and firing them or being punished. And I just wanted to share that it's not entirely all gloom and doom. I still have a little bit of hope. And that is my Monday morning good dose of news.
Absolutely. Thank you for sharing that. Breaking story, it's unconfirmed yet, but dozens of state patrol troopers in Massachusetts have resigned en masse in protest to the vaccine mandate there. It's going to get very interesting. If everybody said no, then they couldn't do it. It's only if everyone complies that they can pretend to make you think that they can get away with this. It's not just hospitals. Some New York City schools could lose up to 100 teachers and staffers as the COVID vaccine mandate takes effect there. It was supposed to take effect today, but on Friday, a judge granted in the evening on Friday a group of teachers a temporary injunction. A three-member panel of the U.S. Court of Appeals will hear the case on Wednesday of this week. United Federation of Teachers President Michael McGrew and Council of School Supervisors and Administrators President Mark Canizero last week warned of big teaching and staffing shortages once de Blasio's mandate takes effect. McGrew says, "Are we going to have a school where we're putting 150 children inside an auditorium with two teachers because the city is not prepared properly?" Canizero says thousands of teachers will become ineligible to work after the vaccine deadline. He adds, "The truth is, at this point, principals and superintendents have been reaching out consistently to tell us they're concerned they're not going to have enough staff. The Department of Education has said 13% of city educators remain unvaccinated and face removal from payroll." Back in August, Mayor de Blasio announced that every Department of Education employee will need to get the COVID-19 vaccine this school year. That includes teachers, principals, custodians, administrative staff, food service workers, school safety agents, central office staff, those working at charter schools, and pre-K teachers working in community-based organizations contracted with the Department of Education. The Department of Education has said 80% of its total workforce of 130,000, including essential kitchen and custodial staff, are vaccinated. That leaves more than 28,000 employees facing removal once the mandate takes effect. In addition, as many as 60% of 4,300 school safety agents have refused the jab and could soon be off the job. Canizero said roughly 10% of city principals have applied for religious or medical vaccine exemptions and that few are being approved. Well, this is about to get really interesting, isn't it? We've got a game of chicken on our hands, and we're going to find out what we're made of. If you want to know what you would have done in Nazi Germany, ask yourself what you do today. Do you turn in your neighbors now? Do you scream at people in the grocery store that aren't wearing a mask? If you have natural immunity, you don't need the vaccine. Even Fauci admitted that last week. Now he says, well, we don't know how long the natural immunity lasts. But everyone says it lasts longer than the shot, the vaccine, which is already requiring the first round of boosters. And by the way, it's going to require more and more and more. And I don't know this as fact yet, but I suspect it, that what we're going to find out is that you're better off having had it and having the natural antibodies than getting the vaccine, and that the natural antibodies will last longer than the vaccine, and that having been vaccinated is going to put you at, the further you get from the time of vaccination, the less able your system is to respond compared to those who have natural immunity. What they don't want you to know is over 99% of people who ever get it are not going to die or even be hospitalized. What they also don't want you to know is that they're counting a lot of things as COVID. Do you know that if you go to the hospital with a broken ankle and you test positive for COVID, they're marking you as a COVID patient. And they're saying, oh, she, look at this person. She's taken up a hospital bed and she's unvaccinated. She's there with a broken ankle. She's not bothering anybody. Not only that, how many stories I'm reading of people who are having a heart attack where they go to the emergency room and they won't put them in the they won't treat them immediately because all they're worried about is COVID. They're treating COVID like they're zombies. It's out of control. People are dying. People are not going to the hospital when they're having a heart attack because they're not sure they're having a heart attack and they don't want to get stuck at the hospital because hospitals scare people now. Then you have people who are coming in and while they're waiting, they're coding and they're dying. And their families are saying, you could have saved my loved one, but you're so obsessed with COVID. By the way, Mayorkas just admitted that 15,000 illegal aliens, most of them Haitians, have been relocated in the United States and that they did not test them for COVID. If COVID was Ebola, if everybody that gets COVID is going to die and kill everyone around them, then why would you release these Haitians out into the community? They're not scared of COVID. They're not nearly as frightened of COVID as they want you to believe they are. But they've never had an opportunity to control you like this. And they know once it's gone, they never will again. You look at what's happening in Australia. They're literally beating people for being outside of their homes. Elderly people, women. It's sad to watch. Try that here where we're all armed. Try that here and see what happens. I think we're turning a curve, folks. I think we're turning the corner. I think people are beginning. Now that the deadline has approached, you better do this. You're going to lose your job. You better do it. You're going to lose your job. Okay, here we are. What are you going to do? If enough people push back, they can't pull this off. Their bluff has been called. There's something positive happening. I feel it. I feel it.
My big health focus has been drink more water, get basic exercise, reduce your stress, and perhaps most important, better sleep and more sleep. You don't want to lay in bed where you can't sleep. I use thetrustedlab.com. Thetrustedlab.com comes directly to your home. I don't want to be involved with addictive drugs and medicine and all that. Completely healthy, completely natural, and I get results. Thetrustedlab.com.